Welcome to the podcast of the preaching ministry of Life Point Church. We pray this ministry is a blessing for your life. For more information about Life Point, please visit lifepointozark.com.
If you'll find in your Bible, Ecclesiastes chapter 11, we are almost through this book. We've been in Ecclesiastes for the last 10 weeks, and we'll be going through chapter 11, the first part of chapter 12, as we continue working our way through this book. While you're finding that, in 1999, there was a song that was released that was one of the most popular songs. Now, 99 is a while back. How many of you guys were born by 1999? Anybody was born? Okay, some of you. If you were alive, I was a junior in high school in 1999. If you were alive in 99, you might remember this song. For the rest of you, just indulge us old people for a while. It was the sunscreen song. Anybody remember the sunscreen song? No? Oh, it was like one of the most popular songs in my high school. I was a junior in high school, and really, I think the reason it was popular, it wasn't really even a song. It was a graduation speech that somebody recorded and set to music. So it wasn't any singing throughout the speech. It was just all this talking, the sunscreen song. And here's just a little snippet. Ladies and gentlemen of the class of 99, wear sunscreen. If I could offer you only one tip for the future, sunscreen would be it. The long-term benefits of sunscreen have been proved by scientists, whereas the rest of my advice has no more basis, no more reliable than my own meandering experience. I will dispense this advice now. And then he goes on throughout the song or the speech to say all these little proverbial sayings and wise advice and different things like that. Like, here's an example. Enjoy the power and beauty of your youth. Oh, never mind. You will not understand the power and beauty of your youth until they have faded. That's kind of true. He says, keep your old love letters. Throw away your old bank statements. That's good advice. He says, get to know your parents. You never know when they'll be gone for good. That's good. Here's another one. Accept certain inalienable truths. Prices will rise, politicians will philander, and you too will get old. And when you do, you'll fantasize that when you were young, prices were reasonable, politicians were noble, and children respected their elders. He's got all these little axioms and sayings throughout the speech, throughout the song, and then he closes it by saying, be careful whose advice you buy, but trust me on the sunscreen. It's the sunscreen song. If you haven't heard it, go look it up. Not right now. Wait till the sermon's over, but look it up later today. It's a pretty clever song. The reason I'm asking you about this or telling you about this is because I want to know, whose advice are you buying? He says to be careful whose advice you buy. Well, where do we look for wisdom in life? What is the source of truth? Where do you find your truth in life? And what is the lens through which you see the world? Where do you get the wisdom by which you understand all the rest of reality? What is really real? What is good? What is the good life? How do you answer those questions? And where does the answer to those questions come from? Where do you find it? Whose advice are you buying? A few years ago, I had a meeting with an older retired pastor, and I was seeking advice and wisdom on how to shepherd my flock. And he started by saying, listen, free advice is worth what you pay for it. Then he gave me a whole bunch of advice. It was really good advice, and it was free. But where do we get our advice? Where do we get our wisdom? In Ecclesiastes chapter 11, Solomon gives something of a graduation speech. You kind of imagine it, read it through that lens. If we think about it, Solomon most likely wrote the book of Ecclesiastes as he was coming to the end of his life. After he had explored all these different avenues seeking happiness in life, after he had tried everything under the sun, after he'd experimented with everything, and he'd made a lot of mistakes in life, he'd messed up in a lot of ways, and he comes kind of to the end of his life, and he's writing Ecclesiastes, and he's sort of speaking to his younger self. If I could give my younger me some advice, what would I say? Solomon's looking out at the young men who are growing up around him, and he's saying, listen, here is some wisdom and advice coming from an older guy that's been through some things, that's experienced some things, that's learned some things. It's kind of a graduation speech. And there's a lot in chapter 11. There's a lot in chapter 12. We're going to pull out three big pieces of advice that Solomon gives to his younger self or to us. He says, first of all, dear younger me, you can't control life, but you can trust God. This is wise advice. Life is outside of your ability to control, but you can find trust in God. That's what he's talking about the first part of chapter 11. Look at verse 1. Cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. Give a portion to 7 or even to 8, for you know not what disaster may happen on earth. If the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves on the earth. And if a tree falls to the north or to the south, in the place where the tree falls, there will it lie. He who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. As you do not know the way the Spirit comes to the bones in the womb of a woman with child, so you do not know the work of God who makes everything. In the morning sow your seed, and at evening withhold not your hand, for you do not know which will prosper, this or that, or whether both alike will be good. And you probably picked up several times in those verses, he says, you do not know, you do not know, you do not know. We don't know what is ahead in life. We can't control what happens in life. Most of life is outside of our ability to know or control. Clouds rain when they're full of water. We can't do anything about that. We can't put water in the clouds. We can't make the clouds not rain. They rain when they rain. Trees fall. Whichever direction the tree falls is the direction that it falls. Wherever it falls, it lies there. We can't change it. We can't do anything about it. We can't control it. We don't know how babies are knit together in their mother's wombs. We can study it scientifically. We can take all the ultrasound pictures that we want, but we don't really know the process of how God creates a human being, not on the spiritual side. We don't know how crops grow or when drought might come and wipe out the harvest. There are things that are beyond our ability to control. In fact, most of life is outside of our control. And this is advice Solomon's giving to a young person. Look, don't think that you can control the outcomes in life. Most of life is outside of your control. Now, when you realize that, you can either become hyper-controlling. Well, I'm going to try to control everything in life. I'm going to try to manipulate every outcome. I'm going to do everything I can to control the things that I can. Or you could become paralyzed by fear. I don't know what's going to happen, so I'm not going to do anything. I don't know what choice to make, so I'm not going to make any choice. And Solomon says both of those extremes are foolish. That's not wise. We should reject them both. He says in chapter 11, verse 1, cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. He's not talking about when you take your kids to the pond and you throw the Wonder Bread into the water so the ducks can eat it. And whatever the ducks leave, you can like get it back. Nobody wants to eat that, right? What he's saying is, if you're a merchant, go ahead and put your grain on the ships to sail across the sea to be traded. Don't be paralyzed by fear and think, well, I don't know if there's going to be a storm on the sea. I don't know if there are going to be good prices on the other side of the sea. I better not do anything. No, he says, the merchant who invests nothing gains nothing. Right? So don't be paralyzed by fear. You can't control life. So go ahead and invest. He says in verse 6, in the morning sow your seed, and at evening withhold not your hand. For you do not know which will prosper, this or that, or whether both alike will be good. He's talking about a farmer here who's like, I don't know what's going to happen. Maybe the weather's good, maybe the weather's not good. Maybe I'm going to look at the clouds and see if they're right. Maybe I'm going to see if the rain's coming. And if you wait too long to plant your crops, you'll never plant them. The planting season will pass and you won't have a harvest. So don't try to control everything in life. Don't wait until everything is completely perfect. Go ahead and plant. Go ahead and do it, because if you plant nothing, you'll harvest nothing. And so the reality is you can't control life. So rather than be paralyzed by fear, go ahead and make good investments. And the best investment to make is generosity. Look at verse 2. Give a portion to 7 or even to 8, for you know not what disaster may happen on the earth. It's possible that Solomon is talking there about when the merchant is putting his grain on the ships, he should diversify, not put all of his grain on one ship, but put it on seven or even eight ships, and that'll increase his profitability or likelihood to get a return on his investment. That's a possible interpretation, but I think what Solomon's talking about in verse 2 is generosity. In light of the fact that we don't know what's going to happen in life, that we can't control life, let's invest in what's really important, being generous. When God has blessed you, when he's blessed us, let's share that blessing. Let's give a portion of that to seven or even to eight. Because here's the reality. If you're in a season of being blessed right now, there will be a season when things are scarce. If you're in a season of plenty, you'll have a season of want, and you don't know what's going to happen. And if you are generous to the people around you, when you hit that hard season in life, there will be seven or eight people who experienced your generosity who will come alongside of you, who will help you, who will walk through life with you. The reality is that crops are eaten, grain is sold, but generosity endures. So invest in the things that matter most. If you invest nothing, you'll gain nothing. If you plant nothing, you'll harvest nothing. If you give nothing, you'll receive nothing. So don't be closed-handed in life. Life's outside of our control. Be open-handed. Don't be paralyzed by fear and do nothing. I understand a little bit about what Solomon's talking about because when I was graduating high school and trying to figure out college, I had a season where I was paralyzed by fear. I had this idea that you can only go to college once and that whatever college major you pick is the job that you're going to have to do for the rest of your life, because if I major in music, I'll never be able to do anything else for the rest of my life. If I major in business, and what happens if I get a job managing a business and hate it? I'm stuck. I can never go back to college. I can never learn anything else, and nobody's going to hire me for this job if I don't have a degree in that job. That's what I thought at age 17, and I was like, I like everything. I'm interested in everything, but I haven't experienced everything. I don't know. It seems like it would be fun to manage a restaurant, but I don't know. I've never worked in a restaurant, right? It seems like it would be fun to be a wildlife biologist, but I don't know. I've never done that kind of a job. I don't know if that would be fun. How can I pick? I was paralyzed by fear because I thought I have to know at age 17 what job is going to make me happy for the rest of my life. How can any 17-year-old know that? Some might, most probably don't. My error was in thinking that my job would be the source of happiness for the rest of my life. Instead of understanding that happiness doesn't come from my job, it doesn't come from whether or not I'm successful, happiness comes from knowing and loving and trusting God. It comes from a relationship with God, and that's Solomon's point. Look, you can't control life. Most of life is outside of your control, but what you can do is trust God. He says that in verse 5. As you do not know the way the Spirit comes to the bones in the womb of a woman with child, so you do not know the work of God who makes everything. We don't know the work of God, but we do know the God who works. And he is good. And he is faithful. He's a good father. He will take care of us. He will provide us. He will protect us. My dad told me, look, don't worry about where your life needs to be 20 or 30 years from now. Just ask God, where do you want me to be today? He said, if every day, if you ask God, where do you want me to be today? If you're with God where he wants you today, you'll be with God wherever he wants you 20 years from now, 30 years from now, 40 years from now. Don't worry about trying to control that outcome. Just ask God, what do you have for me today? We can't control life, but we can trust God. That's Solomon's first point of advice. And before we move on to the second point, I need to ask this question. What has God prompted you to do that you've been putting off? Has God put something on your heart and you've been putting it off because the time isn't just quite right? I know I should do this. God's been convicting me of this, but I feel like the circumstances aren't quite perfect. I'm just waiting. I'm reading the clouds. I'm looking at the weather. I'm watching the seasons. Is it just right? Is it just right or not? I know I should probably reach out to my neighbors and invite them over for dinner and start a friendship that could develop into a gospel opportunity. But I don't know all the Bible. What if they ask me a question that I don't know the answer to? Maybe I should learn a little bit more about the gospel. Maybe I should study my Bible a little bit more. Maybe I should learn a little bit more about evangelism before I do that. And we, years go by, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, we never make that connection. We never quite know enough. I've got 2 master's degrees from seminaries, and I still don't know enough, right? We never get there. So if God's putting something on your heart that you've been putting off because the time isn't just quite right, pray about whether or not you should go ahead and do what he's prompting you to do. Solomon's second piece of advice, dear younger me, you can't avoid difficulty in life, but you can find joy in surrender to God. Life is full of hardship, and we can't avoid that hardship, but we can find our happiness in a relationship with Christ. Look at chapter 11, verse 7. Light is sweet, and it is pleasant for the eyes to see the sun. So if a person lives many years, let him rejoice in them all. But let him remember that the days of darkness will be many. All that comes is vanity. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and the sight of your eyes, but know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. Remove vexation from your heart and put away pain from your body, for youth and the dawn of life are vanity. It's not very hopeful words. Basically, what he's saying is, look, even if you live a long time, remember this, the days of darkness will be many. Life is going to have difficulty and hardness. But don't let the darkness keep you from enjoying the light. There are hard times in life, and there are good times in life. There are days ahead that will be dark, so if the sun is shining now, enjoy it. Light is pleasant, it's sweet, it's pleasant for your eyes to see the sun. Don't let the reality of darkness ahead keep you from enjoying the joy that God gives now. Don't let the certainty of death steal you from enjoying life, right? Chances are, everybody in this room is either, you're either coming out of a season of darkness, or you're in the midst of a season of darkness, or you're headed into a season of darkness. That's just the world that we live in, and we can't avoid it. But what we can do is find joy in our relationship with God. We don't have to let the darkness steal our joy, and we shouldn't fixate on the darkness or on the negatives or on the challenges in life. Look at verse 10. He says, remove vexation from your heart and put away pain from your body, for youth and the dawn of life are vanity. He's not saying to pretend like everything's okay when it's not. That's not what he's saying. That's not wise. If you're in the midst of a dark season, be willing to acknowledge and admit that, but don't fixate on it. Don't allow it to fester and stew. Look at how hard it is. Look at how much I'm sick. I don't feel good. Everything's bad. Everything's bad. Everything's bad. Don't sit there and stew in what's dark or what's hard or what's painful. Acknowledge it and then move on. We came from Wisconsin, and in Wisconsin, it's the dairy state. There are a lot of dairy farms. There are a lot of dairy cows. And cows do something, and other kinds of livestock do as well, but cows do something called ruminate. And when you're talking about ruminating and cows, you're not talking about how cows sit and think about all the wise things in life. That's not what we're talking about. Cows have 4 stomachs. If you know this, whatever. Cows have 4 stomachs. And so what they do is they'll eat grass, and it goes into the first stomach, and it gets kind of starts to get processed, and then they puke it back up and they chew it. It's called chewing the cud. That's called ruminating. And they'll sit down and whatever was in their stomach, they come back up in their mouth and they'll chew it, and then it'll go down into their second stomach, and then it'll puke it back up, and they'll chew it, and then it'll go down in their third stomach, and then they'll throw it back up in their mouth and they'll chew it, and then it'll go down their fourth stomach and finally out the other end. That's called ruminating. What Solomon's saying is when we ruminate on the negative things in life, it's literally like puke in your mouth. Don't do it. It's not good. It's not enjoyable. That's not the way to happiness. Let it go. Acknowledge it. It's hard, but move on. Don't fixate on it. Don't ruminate on it. Bad things are going to happen. We can't avoid them. Not all of them. Let's not ruminate on them. Instead, let's find joy. That's what he commends in verse 9. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and the sight of your eyes, but know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. Now, he's not saying if you have too much fun, God's going to hit you on the head with a hammer. He's not saying God doesn't want you to have fun in life, so don't have too much fun, or God's going to kick you in the butt. That's not what he's saying. What he's saying is true happiness in life comes from living life the way God designed it to be lived. Enjoy the blessing that God gives you. Enjoy what your eyes see and what your heart desires, but do it in a way that is honoring to God, that surrenders to God's plan and God's design. When we step outside of God's plan and we say, well, I'm going to live my life in a self-indulgent way, I'm going to get all the things that I want for myself, then we run into judgment. That's not where happiness is found. Happiness is found within God's framework for life. It's enjoying life the way God designed life to be enjoyed. It's surrendering our will to him. Rejoice in him. Find joy in a relationship with our Heavenly Father. We can't avoid difficulty in life, but we can find joy in God. The third piece of advice that Solomon gives, he says, dear younger me, you can't make life longer, but you can remember your Creator now. Right? Life is short. It's unpredictable. You don't know what's going to happen. You can't do anything to extend it, but you can remember God. You can serve God. You can follow God now while you have the chance. That's what he's talking about the first part of chapter 12. Look at verse 1. Remember also your Creator and the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near, of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened and the clouds return after the rain, in the day when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men are bent, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those who look through the windows are dimmed, and the doors on the street are shut, when the sound of the grinding is low, and one rises up at the sound of a bird, and all the daughters of song are brought low. They are afraid also of what is high, and terrors are in the way. The almond tree blossoms, and the grasshopper drags itself along, and desire fails, because man is going to his eternal home. And the mourners go about the streets. Before the silver cord is snapped, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher is shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, and the dust returns to the earth as it was, and the spirit returns to the God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher, all is vanity. You might be reading that and saying, what in the world is he talking about? Almond blossoms and grasshoppers and grinders ceasing? Like, what is he? This is actually a poem. And it's a very creative way of describing in somewhat grim detail the process of getting older, of aging. Aging is not for the faint of heart. And Solomon uses all these metaphors. It's pretty creative. You know, he says, in the days when the keepers of the house tremble. That's your hands. They do the housework. And as we get older, our hands can shake and they're not as strong as they used to be. The strong men are bent. You think about your shoulders and your back being stooped with age as you get older. The grinders cease because they are few. As we get older, we lose our teeth. We're not grinding up our food because we don't have any teeth to grind them with. Those who look through the windows are dimmed. It's our eyesight. As we get older, our eyes don't see as well as they used to. Verse 4, all the doors on the street are shut when the sound of the grinding is low and one rises up at the sound of a bird and all the daughters of the song are brought low. What he's talking about there is oftentimes as you age, you wake up earlier. Not because you set your alarm, just because you wake up earlier. Before the grinding of the workday starts, when all the rest of the people who have their doors closed because they're still asleep, you're awake. And you think, well, at least the birds are singing early in the morning, right? Well, the irony is, as you get older, your hearing goes. So you wake up early enough to hear the bird song, but you don't have good enough hearing to enjoy it. It's ironic. He says they're afraid also of what is high, and terrors are in the way. As we get older, we get less steady on our feet. We fear falling. The almond tree blossoms. Almond blossoms are white. As we age, our hair turns white or falls out. The grasshopper drags itself along. We lose that spring in our step as we age. And desire fails. And I'll just say, in today's world, we have a little blue pill for that. We'll leave it at that. All this happens because man is going to his eternal home and mourners go about in the streets. And then in verse 6, he's talking about golden bowls being broken and pitchers being shattered and all these things. And those are pictures of drawing water out of a well. Water is a sign of life, a symbol of life. And what he's saying is as we age, the water of our life leaks out and eventually dries up. The dust returns to the earth as it was. Our bodies were made out of dust. They decompose back into dust. And the spirit returns to the God who gave it. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity, right? The reality is this. We're all going to die. We're all going to get older. We can't avoid this. If you live long enough, these things will happen to you. That's what Solomon's saying. So what do? Verse 1. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Don't say, I'll get serious about my faith when I get older. I hear this all the time. Yeah, I know I should go to church or whatever, but I'm young. You only get to live life once. I'll get serious about my faith when I get older. Well, the reality is you might not get older. None of us are promised tomorrow. And if you do get older, there'll reach a point in life when you don't have the energy to do it anymore. So don't waste your life now by chasing after self-indulgence or all these things that you think will bring happiness. Remember your Creator now. Love and worship God now. Serve God now while you still can. The certainty of death should make us pause and think about the priorities of life. What are the most important things in life? What is it that really matters in life? We do only have one life to live under the sun. So how am I living it in a way that really matters, in a way that makes a difference? What are our priorities? Well, I was thinking about this week in our Thursday morning men's Bible study. Somebody shared this statistic. It was pretty impactful. He said, your kids have a 0.16% chance of becoming a professional athlete and a 100% chance of standing before God on Judgment Day. What's more important? Am I saying don't play ball? No, that's not what I'm saying. Play ball. Enjoy it. It's a blessing from God. But don't forget about your Creator. As parents, we should teach our children what is really important in life. Be in band. Be in choir, play ball, do the theater, whatever it is. Enjoy those things while you have the opportunity, but don't forget about God. Don't put God on the back shelf and say, well, I need to get through this tournament. I'll think about God when I'm older. Don't lead our kids to do that. Don't do that ourselves. Most of life is outside of our control. So trust God. Life is filled with difficulty and hardship. So find our joy and surrender to God. And understand that death is a reality and we can't extend our lives. So let's remember our Creator while we can. I think the Apostle Paul may have had Ecclesiastes 11 and 12 in mind when he wrote these words from Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. This is what really matters in life. Loving God and loving one another.